are listening to FBC Perspective, a podcast from First Baptist Church, Kelowna.
Hello from First Baptist Church in Kelowna. This is Pastor Kevin Green, and I'm your host. I'd like to welcome you to our Perspective podcast, where we talk about things that help us live better lives. And today I'm talking to Rob McKinley with Cheer Fund. Rob, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here with you.
Rob, I'm wondering if you can tell us a bit about your background and how you came to be with Cheer Fund.
Yeah, well, I actually have a fairly diverse ministry background. I've been involved now with Christian NGO work for almost 10 years. And prior to Cheer Fund, I worked for a very well-known Christian NGO and learned a tremendous amount during that time of what works and what doesn't work in the developing world. And actually, more what the preferred name, what we used to call third world countries, is now global south countries. And I think the terminology is important because the wording's morphed in the sense that we're all developing in certain ways, and it also breaks down the walls of us and them.
So actually, from your description there, you just gave us a bit of a teaser for those who don't know what Cheer Fund is about, that it's about... I don't know if I'll get this right, about developing countries. What did you say?
Global South countries.
Global South countries. And I actually found your vision really intriguing. I found it on the on your website. First of all, I love the name Cheer Fund. I think it's it captures me. I think your website is great. It tells really good stories. But I found your vision really intriguing. And I'd just like to read it to start us off in this discussion. This is how it goes. We're following Jesus where the need is greatest, working through local churches to unlock people's potential and helping them to discover that the answer to poverty is within themselves. When disaster strikes, we respond quickly. We won't stop until poverty stops. I mean, my reaction to that is I think that's pretty focused, it's pretty clear, and man, it's pretty ambitious. Can you tell me how you go about doing that?
Well, I think we first need to look at scripture, and poverty, the poor, are mentioned over 2,000 times in the Bible. That's a lot of airtime. And so how we do it is we actually look, mission today is manifest quite a bit differently than it has been even 10, 20 years ago. So the message is the same, but the methodology isn't. Apostle Paul exhorts us in Acts 17 to speak the language of the day in both truth and relevance, and above all with kindness and dignity. So I'll give you an example. Maybe I'm jumping the gun a little bit here, but we work with professional development partners on the ground in conjunction with local churches. So for instance, I was just in Ethiopia last March, and I visited all of the work that is happening in conjunction with our local partners there. TDA is the Terapeza Development Association. Now, they're the development arm of the Kalahewa Church in Ethiopia. So this particular denomination has 26,000 churches. Wow. And I had the privilege of witnessing what this actually looks like. So without going into greater details, we can do that a little bit later, but we work what we call CCT, church-based community transformation. So we integrate proclamation and advocating for the least of these. They're both intertwined and they're integrated through the local church into a holistic model. If that helps answer that question, I'm not sure if it does or not, but we follow where the need is greatest. We try to emulate what Jesus' model was. And because the poor are so prominently focused on throughout the Bible, that's what our focus is.
That does actually help answer the question, because I found one of the things that was really captivating about your vision statement was just the hope about people's potential. I mean, I don't think you see that a lot in vision statements. And I found that really, really encouraging, that it seems like you want to lift people up and empower them. And when you talk about church-based community transformation, that sounds to me like that's about empowering people so that they can help themselves in some ways. I don't like using that terminology, yeah. Help themselves, but can you expand on that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if we look at the local church, it's the infrastructure that we have there. It's so powerful, and it's being not utilized, I think, to the full capacity. And I think actually what we do is actually empower people to lift themselves out of poverty. We don't believe in an us and them. It's a matter of equipping.
Tearfund talks about unlocking people's potential through local churches. Can you tell me how you go about doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we do is we work through the local partners in the respective countries to train them. And they correspondingly train and empower local people to lift themselves out of poverty. It's all about dignity. It's a restoration of dignity, all done through the vehicle of the local church. So our model enables us to transform more lives at a fraction of the cost so people can lift themselves out of poverty for good. And that's manifest in different ways. So I'll give you four examples. So one is through what we call conservation agriculture. And this is what the governments in many of these countries, they have certain mandates. This is how you're going to farm. But people are discovering that it's really not the most efficient way of farming. So conservation agriculture incorporates things like no-till farming, intercropping, and utilizing different crops to engage the soil so they can farm year after year after year without compromising the integrity of the soil. Another is village savings and loans. So very low-cost loans within the communities. Most of these countries, they have absolutely nefarious lenders that lend at 100% plus. So people are never able to get out of the cycle of debt. One of the most compelling vehicles that we have are our self-help groups, or SHGs. The majority of them are women's self-help groups. And we also focus on disaster relief.
So Rob, those four ways, they sound fantastic, but I'm wondering if you can actually draw a connection to the gospel with those four ways of helping people lift out of poverty.
Sure, absolutely. If you remember, well, Kevin, you and I are about the same age, but one of the shows that we grew up with was Little House on the Prairie, where the church in Mankato there was the epicenter of all the goings on. So on Sunday, they had church services, but something was happening every single day of the week there. Similar model to that. So the church is the epicenter where our work and proclamation are integrated. So for instance, say for conservation agriculture, I'll take an example in northern Liberia. There we teach our neighbors how to do conservation agriculture. Now, I would say 90% of the people there are Muslims, but they come to the Christian church where the gospel is still proclaimed through the church. And there's not an animosity towards Christians, because the Christians, the pastors there, are empowering their Muslim brothers and sisters to be able to learn these ways of survival through conservation agriculture. So there's really this reconciliatory process that's happening there that can only be attributed to the divine. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing I didn't mention before is that Tearfund says, we offer support regardless of race or religion. And I think that's a great example right there, that this isn't about Christians just helping Christians. It's helping brothers and sisters and people in need.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we can go through scripture and see that Jesus never strong-armed anybody. So we are trying to be his hands and feet here on the earth in that, and loving as Christ loved, and sharing that life to the full that he has offered us all.
You know, another thing about your vision statement says that we won't stop until poverty stops. And immediately I have this thought, this question: can you ever end poverty? Or is this something that's just, you know, you're just going to continue working hard forever?
Yeah. Well, hopefully we're going to work ourselves out of a job. And that's really what we're trying to do. But Jesus also said, we'll always have the poor. But he mentions the poor so often in Scripture, and it's our call to minister to the poor. So our mandate is to try to work ourselves out of the job, but ultimately God takes care of everything. Our call is to be faithful.
Rob, I'm wondering if you could tell us a story that's touched you particularly in your time with Tear Fund.
Oh my goodness. I have so many stories from one I just alluded to, from a Muslim pastor in Northern Liberia. There's another, I just came back from Ethiopia. There was a grandmother. She was, I'd say she'd be about 55 years old, looked a little bit older. She had no shoes out in her field. Just her feet were so calloused and just looked like she really needed some health care, but the largest, most beaming smile on her face as a result of what she has learned through conservation agriculture. Her immediate kids had all left to Addis to work in the city, so it was incumbent upon her to provide for all of her grandkids. Now her grandkids are starting to get older and they're helping her, and she's actually become a pillar to the community. Of people are coming to her that literally have no food and are starving, and she's teaching them ways on doing that. So it's a rippling effect. That's another story, but my main story I think would have to do with the self-help groups. Witnessing, I saw about four or five of them when I was there, and each one of them brought me to tears when I was seeing them. So the majority of them are women's self-help groups. There's a few men's ones as well, but women are generally far more oppressed in Global South countries than men. They just don't have the same opportunities. So these groups are both in rural and urban contexts, and each of them have their own name. So one of them that I visited in Amharic was called Sikwa, which means love. Now, this group had been in operation for about 5 years, and how they're structured is that there's officers and committees that are appointed, and they all have accountability with a very structured governance. So they support one another through loans, through business ventures, prayer, advocacy, healthcare, and a lot more. And there's so much to these groups that the transformation is literally stunning. That you, when you see the women that are involved with these groups in comparison to the ones that aren't. So a few examples on how this is practically lived is their daily life expenditures. They keep nefarious lenders at bay, which I alluded to earlier, that they can charge up to 100% interest. But in the self-help groups, they charge 5% interest. And that money goes right back into the group again. So they're empowered to be financial contributors to the family. And they're not solely reliant on their husbands any longer. They share skills with one another. They provide emergency relief for hospital charges and medicines. And there's a sense of community belonging. I could go on and on and on, but these self-help groups are nothing short of miraculous to these women.
Can you tell us, have there been some particular challenges with this pandemic, this global pandemic, that have impacted how Tear Fund goes about its work?
It's definitely been a challenge. So we've been raising funds for prevention, which has been very good. So with the prevention, we're providing masks and bleach and education. But in Global South countries, social distancing is not something that's easy. You'll have anywhere from 6 to 10 people living in one room in a hut, and it's hard to do that. And every day people are having to walk long distances to get clean water, which in many cases isn't clean. And so they're encountering other people, and it's really difficult to do. The fortunate thing is C-19 hasn't really blown up in many of these countries, and they're still not sure why this is the case. It might be because of the temperatures are hotter and the virus can't last as long. We're not sure exactly, but one of probably the biggest challenge that we've been having is the lockdown effect. And what I mean by that is the UN estimates between 42 and 66 million people are facing imminent starvation due to lockdown. So that means these conservation agriculture farmers, they're not getting access to seeds. They're not able to go into the cities. They're not able to access food. So this is causing a huge panic there. And that's probably the biggest challenge that we're facing right now. So the majority of the funds that we're raising are going towards that.
You know, it's interesting. I love your vision statement, as I've said. And one of the shifts that I think has happened in the church and Western culture is this recognition that mission isn't just out there, but it's also local. But I think the challenge is for us to recognize that we have an obligation to be global citizens. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if you can tell us how people at a local level, let's say from Kelowna, can be involved in Tier Fund and being part of what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we really have to look at this as being a reciprocated partnership, in that we have things to teach and we have things to learn. And in all of my travels, I always learn so much from the expertise of what's happening in the field. So what we do here at Tier Fund, we also encourage and exhort our local churches here to live just as they are in Global South countries, but it's manifest in a different way. So it's just a different expression. What we will do here is we help equip churches with resources. We share communication of what's happening in Global South countries, on what some of the leaders there are doing. We often will do Skype or Zoom of the leadership there into the churches here so they can share what's going on. We also do what we call vision trips. So people that are involved with communities in some of these countries can go and see what the work that's being done. So relationship is key. Breaking down walls is key. There's no walls in an us and them kind of nature that we have. So in terms of a practical way of being involved, I would encourage anyone that's interested to go to our Tier Fund, our website, tierfund.ca, and there's all kinds of information on there about who we are, what we're about. One thing that we just started this last week is a campaign. It's a challenge that we call the Rise Up Challenge, where we've taken seven mountains representative of each continent, and people can virtually climb these mountains to raise funds and awareness of what's going on in lockdown in Global South countries. So you can choose from the shortest mountain, which is Uluru, otherwise known as Ayers Rock in Australia, which is about three staircases a day, all the way up to Mount Everest, which I'm doing, which is 1,300 steps a day. So it gives me a lot of time to think.
Yes.
And so people can do a one-time donation. It's a really, really fun challenge. And you can go and see the video on that. Go to tierfund.ca/riseup, R-I-S-E-U-P. And that's a great way to get involved and to learn a little bit more about what we're doing here at Tier Fund to help eradicate poverty in the Global South countries.
Well, I find a lot of what you said really inspiring. I mean, I know that for most people who have experience with some kind of international mission, culture exchange, whatever you want to call it, they go thinking they're helping, but they come back helped. So mm-hmm. I love that image of the interplay and interconnectedness, because all of us are connected, aren't we?
We are. And that's another good point, Kevin, is that we really want to foster a connection with one another. It's so much more than finances. So it involves prayer, getting to know the communities and people and building into one another. Because if we look at partnerships and how we structured mission, in reality, names and faces change. People come and go in congregations, pastors come and go, but places don't. The partnership belongs with communities and developing relationships. So how are we supporting our brothers and sisters encumbered in poverty in a way that dignifies each person? What are we learning from them? So we support partnering churches in Canada through all of these resources, but the relationship is first and foremost, absolutely.
Rob, one last question. I can see and hear that you love what you do. Mm. I wonder if I can put you on the spot and ask you what you love most about what you do.
Mm. I think a sense of purpose. There's a sense of call and a sense of purpose. And I think, especially in Western society, we often tend to focus in on, we have such abundance here that we falsify ourselves into this sense of self-reliance, which we actually don't really have. And I think when we step out, even during a time such as this, when we're all hit financially with this, the smallest acts of saying yes go so, so far. So for me, definitely it's a sense of purpose. And I think anyone that gets involved in this type of way, they find that same sense of satisfaction and purpose, that God is using us in tremendous ways, even though they may seem small and insignificant.
Awesome. Hey, Rob, thank you so much. It's been really great hearing about Tier Fund and a bit of your story. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me share with you, Kevin, and looking forward to hearing more of your podcast. So thanks again for hosting. Really appreciate it.
And I just want to remind our listeners that that website was tierfund.org. And I want to thank you.
Tierfund.ca, sorry.
Oh, .ca, tierfund.ca. And I want to thank you for listening. And I hope that you feel better equipped to deal with life than you did before. And it's been great to talk about things that help us live better lives. And I look forward to connecting with you on our next podcast. Until next time, keep the faith and live in hope.
Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe so that you can catch all our future episodes. You can search for us as FBC Perspective on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.